Corporate Social Responsibility. The overriding job of business is to make money for the owners, but that in no way precludes an active role for business in solving non-market problems such as access to HIV medicines. Indeed, CEOs understand that if they neglect the non-market side of their activities, they can risk the very success of the company. The reputational costs to business of blocking solutions to vital challenges can be devastating to shared values, customer loyalties, worker morale, the ability to recruit new employees, and even the social acceptability of their continued operations. As one businessman has put it, either we're at the table on these issues, or we're on the menu. During the AIDS episode in 1998 to 2001, before the start of the Global Fund, the major pharmaceutical companies were threatened by just such a debacle. The companies were getting heatedly attacked by highly visible activists because of the cruel neglect of Africa's dying AIDS victims and the seeming unwillingness of the companies to reduce prices. The companies aimed to maintain the high patent-protected prices for the high-income markets, but they didn't yet recognize that they could and should segment the markets vis-à-vis the poorest countries. They also understood, if only intuitively, that it would never be enough to simply ship low-cost drugs to Africa. There would need to be a system-wide scale-up of healthcare capacity in the receiving countries. At the time, I met with several CEOs to encourage them to cut their prices to production cost and to encourage the industry as a whole to rally to this standard. I told them that such market segmentation would be crucial for them to keep their good names. I also suggested, in every way that I could, as chairman of the WHO Commission on Macroeconomics and Health, and as director of the UN Millennium Project, that the ancillary supply chain needs, logistics, health workers, local clinics, and the rest, should be met by other donors. The pieces of the puzzle began to fall into place, and former President Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation moved things forward significantly by helping developing country governments negotiate low-cost agreements in antiretrovirals. The CEO of Merck Pharmaceuticals at the time, Ray Gilmartin, later told me about a moving lesson for the company. After Merck agreed to cut its prices to a no-profit basis for the poor countries, the employees in the company responded with enormous pride and enthusiasm. Gilmartin said it was the greatest boost to company morale that he had seen as CEO. All of us want to work in institutions that are part of the solution, not part of the problem. The difficulties are not over, to be sure. Some pharmaceutical companies still resist the intrusion of generics producers, or they try to negotiate for higher prices or royalties on new drugs even in the lowest income countries. Some patent-holding companies continue to delay the introduction of new life-saving drugs in low-income countries produced by generics companies, even when the new drugs may be more effective than older versions or may be better suited for the poorest of the poor, because they do not require refrigeration or are easier to ingest. Most problematic, there is no agreement internationally on where to draw the line between the poorest countries, other low-income countries, and middle-income countries like Brazil and Thailand that are rich enough to pay some amount for international medicines above the zero-cost level but are too poor to pay the same market prices as the rich countries. Standards of fairness, justice, and above all public health have not yet been agreed upon, and acrimony still flares. Nonetheless, I would emphasize that it is possible, indeed in the interests of all parties, to find workable solutions that constructively engage the world's major companies, respect their fundamental position as profit-making rather than charitable entities, and call for goodwill and adequate public funding to enable public-private partnerships to work effectively on behalf of the poor. This is the general message that I give to all CEOs regarding the Millennium Promises. Each company needs to be part of the solution, and needs to stretch its activities beyond normal market activities. This does not mean to turn the company upside down or into a charitable institution, but rather to identify the unique contribution the company may make as part of a broader effort to solve a major social challenge. This is the real meaning of corporate social responsibility, to operate in a manner that promotes broad social objectives, including non-market goals, in a way consistent with core business principles, values, and practices. It means much more than simple corporate philanthropy. It demands creativity.